chapel program for September 15th, 1964. Dr. Oliver in charge.
They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we thine unworthy servants do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. But above all, for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service, and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Freedom and responsibility are constant themes in philosophical inquiry and political theory. When the editors of the Great Books series reduced all man's recorded thought to about 100 major themes, they included freedom and responsibility under the headings liberty and duty. Freedom and responsibility have also been concerns of theology over the centuries. Some believe that these traits are most perfectly balanced in the Christian understanding of man. Even in the Christian context, however, it is the duty of every generation to review its attitudes toward these great realities. It has been one of the correctives against too extreme a pronouncement about the sovereignty of God, as in Calvinism, that theologians have always had to deal positively with the freedom of man. The tension between the freedom of God, or the sovereignty of God, and the freedom of man is somewhat resolved when it is affirmed that the freedom of man is the gift of a free God. It is his gift by act of creation. It is man's greatest treasure and yet his most terrifying trait. As Sartre has said, man is condemned to freedom. That man is free is the heritage of our Christian faith and the legacy of our Western culture. When the Constitution says that every man is created equal, it does not affirm that there are no differences among citizens, but that all should benefit equally from the regulative structures of government. It asserts that every man is endowed with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty or freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. As Christians, we are committed to a similar affirmation about every man before God. We stress also the duty of man, his responsibility before God. It is a common misunderstanding that responsibility is the opposite of freedom. This position cannot be sustained, for the real opposite of freedom is necessity. The problem in a mature statement of Christian ethics is not the tension between freedom and responsibility, for responsibility is a concomitant of freedom. The real ethical dilemma is between responsibility and necessity. If freedom is the gift of God, then responsibility is the response of man to his awareness that his freedom is a gift. The fact that we are endowed with freedom, that it is not our own creation, sharpens the sense of responsibility towards others and to God. No man is more irresponsible than the one who regards himself as self-made, who feels no debt to God, no duty to his family, to his fellow men. He feels what rights he has earned. He owes no man anything and feels no gratitude to God. He does not know the meaning of duty and responsibility. His primary difficulty is that he is not aware that his freedom is a gift, an endowment of creation. When man does realize that his freedom is a gift, he turns his full powers to the act of gratitude and to the enactment of responsible life. He develops a sense of oughtness in the context of his social and religious involvement. But then a problem arises. Does he act then from necessity or responsibility? It is possible to regard man's ethical duty as obedience to God's laws. Such was life in ancient Judaism. Such is life with many Christians today. Some of us like to believe that the Christian ethic is a response, not to a law or a demand, but to a gift. This does not mean that there is no compulsion to act, but it means that Christian man's freedom is circumscribed not so much by laws as by gratitude. The Christian then has a sense of oughtness. We often hear a child say, "I don't have to, but I ought to." In this simple formulation, the child realizes a sense of obligation rooted in his freedom. What he has to do, for that he is not responsible. What he ought to do, he is ultimately responsible for that. When man acts out of necessity, he places the moral responsibility for what is right upon an outside source of authority. When he acts responsibly, he bears part of the responsibility for the decision as to what he ought to do. The former way, acting out of necessity, can lead to a legalism, a blind obedience to external laws. Legalism is most vulnerable in its implicit denial of the freedom of man. The problem of those who oppose legalism is how can a belief in man's freedom lead to a belief in his responsibility? Two things must be affirmed cojointly. Responsibility is not simply obedience to God's laws because man is free. Freedom is not indifference to the will of God because man is responsible. It is interesting that one of the recent attacks on Jewish legalism has led not to a denial of obedience, but to a call for radical obedience defined in this way. Radical obedience exists only when a man inwardly assents to what is required of him, when the thing commanded is seen as intrinsically God's command, when the whole man stands behind what he does, or better, when the whole man is in what he does, when he is not doing something obediently, but is essentially obedient. We could elaborate by saying, when he acts not out of a sense of necessity, but of responsibility. In such a manner of acting, he fully consents to what he ought to do. Thus, he is at the same time free and responsible. To affirm the will of God is to confess that man's sense of oughtness is also a gift, part of the image of God given to man in creation. He must not deduce from this that his every whim is the will of God. He has no monopoly on God's will. It is not something one possesses, but just as its meaning implies, an oughtness which transcends every human life. In the Christian ethic, we must affirm that freedom is a gift, and that part of man's gratitude for this gift is a sense of responsibility. Having said this, it is interesting that the word responsibility does not appear in the New Testament. That is not to say that the idea is not found everywhere in the early Christian understanding. The New Testament is full of imperatives. expressions of man's responsibility. Perhaps the word stewardship in the New Testament means responsibility. The word stewardship has an economic background. A steward is a manager, a person charged with certain managerial responsibility. Sometimes the word is used in this economic sense, as in the parables of Jesus. It is probably because of this economic origin of the word that we limit the word stewardship today to the use one makes of his material wealth. The stewardship committee of the church often deals only with the budget. There is real danger in limiting the word stewardship to this domain of personal wealth. The concept of stewardship in the New Testament transcends the economic origin of the word. Let us look at two passages. The first is 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. "This is how one should regard us," Paul writes, "as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy." Here Paul is discussing his missionary responsibility to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and appeals to a truism. It is the duty of those charged with responsibility that they be found faithful. A steward is one charged with responsibility. The second passage is 1 Peter 4:10. "As each has received a gift, employ it for one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace." Good stewards of God's manifold grace. This is a clue to the Christian understanding of stewardship. Christian responsibility is rooted in the gift of God, his unexplainable grace. Grace produces gratitude and responsibility. Such a concept is in line with the experience of the earliest Christians who felt that their response to the grace of God required positive action. Their concept of responsibility was no threat to freedom, for they believed that their becoming aware of the grace of God was a freedom from the bondage of sin. The Apostle Paul struggled most of his Christian life against those who would reduce the gospel of freedom to a bondage to the old law. Galatians is the Christian declaration of independence. Here Paul writes, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." By setting aside the law as the Jews regarded it in his day, was Paul advocating that man has no responsibility before God? By no means. In the same paragraph he writes, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Christian motivation to ethical action is a sense of responsibility growing out of gratitude. The gratitude that one experiences when he becomes aware that his freedom is a gift from God. As the gathered community, the church, we all share in the sense of Christian responsibility. What does responsibility or stewardship mean? The word responsibility carries within it the word response. Some have even said that responsibility is the ability to respond. When man responds to God's grace out of a sense of gratitude for his freedom, he responds as a whole person. For such a person, responsibility is not a burden to carry unwillingly. It is a privilege which one shares joyfully. Responsibility means being committed to God. One sense of gratitude, out of which true Christian stewardship arises, is the motivation which makes responsibility a privilege. Man commits himself to God because he knows that God, the source of life and freedom, is concerned with his well-being. Responding positively to the will of God is the only way man can execute his freedom for his own well-being. But he acts then not out of self-concern, for he is motivated by gratitude. He expresses his gratitude toward God by his action toward his fellow men. The word responsibility means little standing alone. True responsibility is to someone and for someone. Man is responsible to his family, to his neighbors, to his fellow men, and to God. Or better stated, he is responsible to God for his family, his neighbors, and the whole human family. As a responsible person, he is committed to God, and to him, God has committed the responsibility of other persons. Christian responsibility is commitment. Christian man is characterized, therefore, by a sense of loyalty. But modern man has many loyalties competing for his time and wealth. Loyalty to family, to church, to country, to this organization or that. It should be said that the church is not in competition with man's true loyalties. It is rather that part of his life which gives meaning to all the rest. It is from a sense of gratitude towards God and responsibility for the total family of man that each of us must determine the exact degree of loyalty we shall give to any institution or organization. The same sense of responsible gratitude leads us to gather together in worship and to engage in the ministry of the church to the world. May we stand. Almighty God, whom we approach without pride, and before whom we humble ourselves without despair, fill our hearts with the love of every human being, and our minds with the love of truth, and in the recognition that all life is a gift, may we live our lives in gratitude. In Christ's name. Amen.